What is going on, everybody? Sports Talk here at Boomtown Casino in Harvey. Happy to be out the house, out the office. It is a glorious day as the roads have reopened and everyone can go about their business as we get back to normal following that snowpocalypse that hit New Orleans. Was fun to watch, but not fun to deal with afterwards, the aftermath of it. You realize, man, I'm trapped now in this snow.
Yeah, it's not like we've never had it. We've never seen anything like that before, you know, 130 years. And so, yeah, it was tough. And then really what makes the storm different, and it was kind of like it was back in 1989 when I first got here, it snowed, but then it was below freezing for like three straight days. Pipes breaking, you know, taking a bath, a shower with hot water that you got out of the sink.
Yeah.
Right? And so it was very... It was the following the snow and the freezing temperatures following, where you're running the water, trickling to keep your pipes, and then the parish, you know, has a problem with water because everybody's got their water running.
Right.
So they're
telling us to drip the water so it doesn't freeze.
It is, and so it's a fine line, but it'll be 60 plus and sunny over the weekend. I'm looking forward to, and then Sunday, man, 2 o'clock, Washington and Philadelphia, and then 5:30. Buffalo and Kansas City yet again. But man, it's going to be great. It's great. And the winners come to New Orleans. Like, typically we kind of like, we're watching from afar, but we've still got a hand in this one.
Right. We get to play host.
Right. We get to host the winners. And so I'm, you know, either way, it's going to be a great game. And, you know, based on the four teams that are left, that's kind of a no lose. Everybody has your own feeling, your own favorite. But from a city standpoint, it's going to be a pretty pumped up fan base, because we know Philly's fan base. They're
right.
Tough. They booed Santa, right? You know, Buffalo Mafia, if they come. Kansas City, probably one of the best fan bases nationally, along with Green Bay.
I guess Walmart, Home Depot, all those stores are going to have to get those folding tables ready.
Yep.
if the Bills Mafia is coming.
That's right. So that's... It's kind of no lose. I'm looking forward. Washington hadn't been there in such a long time. A Washington-Buffalo rematch.
Yeah, the Final Four is a good mix.
Yeah, I think so as well.
Talking about the Super Bowl, well, the Boomtown is promoting their Big Easy finale, which is Saturday, January 25th. Today, two winners will be selected. Tomorrow, two more winners selected. Those four winners will be called every 30 minutes from 7 to 9 p.m. They get to select a briefcase to determine their prize, which ranges from $750 in slot and table play to $1,500 in pen cash. There will also be winners from previous weeks. All finalists are placed in a drawing drum on Saturday, 9:15. The winner receives a pair of tickets to the big game and $2,500 in cold hard cash. If you're a card member, you get one free entry. You can get additional entries for every 10 tier points. You get one additional entry. So stop by Boomtown and get involved with that. Looking at the LSU women's basketball team in action right now against South Carolina. The Gamecocks up 45-38 over the Lady Tigers, currently still in the third quarter in that matchup. We'll definitely be keeping an eye on that. Also tonight in basketball action, the Pelicans are in Memphis to take on the Grizzlies. That's a 7 o'clock tip-off on the big 870 AM. We'll be going to 6:30 on 870 AM here with Sports Talk. We'll continue on at 105.3 FM. Pre-game coverage for the Pels in Memphis starts 6:30, 870 AM there. Lots going on right now.
Right, and so you're thinking, so the Pelicans on the road again next couple of games. They come back on Wednesday, January 29th, Dallas in town. Big one there. Then Boston.
Yeah.
Will be on Friday the 31st. So Wednesday the 29th, Friday the 31st. And then you go right into opening night. You know, get the NFL app, NFL One Plus, NFL One. Get the app and start, you know, because that's the event. It's basically media day.
But right.
It's at the Superdome, right? 5 to 10 in the, you know, come down, $20. And take part. So, but get the app. You can get everything you need from the app.
I laughed today, like my son was talking to me. He's like, Dad, the Super Bowl, you know, you're talking about doing things with Radio Row and the Super Bowl parties and then the game. He's like, when are you going to have any time for rest? I'm like, there's no time for rest right now. We don't have to worry about that. And it's the, you know, the the ultimate experience with the Super Bowl in town, too. I got to do a lot going on when Baltimore and San Francisco played, and definitely looking forward to this time around. Plan on camping out at Radio Row in the Convention Center forever, just seeing who passes by.
Going to be fun. The NFL One Pass is what you need for all of the events because it's the NFL experience.
That, too. I can't wait to bring the little guy to that.
Opening night, which they, you talked about an evolution, which used to be Media Day, Brutal Tuesday. And now it's an event. So, man, the NFL knows what they're doing.
We are here at the Boomtown Casino in Harvey. Here till 7 o'clock at night, we are taking a break. When we get back, we'll get into our NFC preview of the conference championship, breaking it all down. First up will be the Philadelphia Eagles, and we'll talk to John McMullen, Eagles insider for Sports Illustrated and host of the Birds 365 podcast. After that, we'll check in with the Commanders, David Harrison, who does Locked On Commanders and also writer for SI's Commander Game Day. Stay tuned here on Sports Talk at Boomtown as we get ready for NFL football on Sunday right here on WWL.
22-yard line, that's where Philadelphia opens up. Handoff, it's Barkley running to the left. Barkley gets by everybody! Saquon Barkley is gone! Touchdown! On a snowy Sunday, Saquon Barkley has dominated for the Eagles!
You heard the call there talking about Saquon Barkley and the Philadelphia Eagles to help us break down the matchup against the Washington Commanders on Sunday. Welcome in John McMullen, Eagles insider for Sports Illustrated and host of Birds 365 podcast. Definitely appreciate the time, John. Know you're busy going on getting ready for this matchup on Sunday. How you been?
Doing well. Thanks for having me, guys.
The addition of Saquon Barkley obviously cannot be understated for this Philadelphia Eagles squad, has meant so much to this offense this season, and it's just really eye-popping the numbers he was able to put up this year in consideration for the MVP of the league, and just keeps on churning and churning going. What are we in store for this game against the Washington Commanders defense that could be suspect against the run?
Yeah, I think a lot of what you've seen, the Eagles feel they can run the football on anyone. I think it's a little bit complicated this week with Jalen Hurts dealing with a knee injury, and we'll see how limited he is. Did confirm he's going to wear a brace on Sunday. So, the plus one impact, when you have those two together and you have to worry about in those zone read looks, you have to worry about Jalen Hurts pulling the ball occasionally, it really makes it difficult. So if you look at the second time the Eagles played Washington down in Landover, week 16, it was very difficult in the second half. Jalen Hurts left that game with a concussion. Saquon had his usual home run. And then the second half, it got really muddy from a perspective because Jalen wasn't out there, and they could really load the box and try to take Saquon Barkley out of the game. And that's the only game the Eagles have lost since their week four loss to Tampa Bay. Then they had a bye week and sort of shifted from a pass first offense to leaning on their tremendous offensive line and Saquon Barkley. And that's it. That's the only loss they've had. And that's against the Washington Commanders.
If you look at these two teams, this is Mike Haas, thanks for joining us. And the takeaways in the playoffs, both are plus six, both have forced six, and committed zero turnovers. But in the regular season, Philly was plus 11, Washington plus one. Got to feel like that's a huge factor on Sunday because neither team has committed a turnover yet.
Yeah, that's been the Eagles' philosophy to the point they've gotten a little bit risk-averse on the offensive side. So for all the historic nature in the season that Saquon is having, their passing game hasn't been very good, and it's it's funny because you're talking about a 16-3 team, and is still people nitpick in Philadelphia because they have A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, and they should be able to throw the ball at will on top of their running game, and they haven't been able to do that. They had 65 net passing yards against the Rams in the divisional round. And, guys, that is the lowest number in a decade for any playoff game, from a winner or a loser. So that part's not acceptable. It's kind of weird because there's an unintended consequence. When you run the ball as good as they do, it affects the passing game.
Looking at the game on Sunday, will weather be an issue in this matchup? What are the conditions expected to be like in Philadelphia?
No, it's going to be. It's been really cold here, and I know down there you guys had like the worst snowstorm in history. But it's been brutally cold, and it's going to break a little bit for the game. It's going to be high 30s, so obviously it's the Northeast. It's not going to be Shangri-La, but it, for January in Philadelphia, it's about as good the weather forecast as it can be. So I don't think the weather is going to be much of an issue. Washington, you know, right down the I-95 corridor, they're used to practicing in this kind of weather. So I don't think that's going to be much of an issue at all.
I'm curious, you know, we're in New Orleans. Unfortunately, we have to play the what-if game. But I look back at that Week 2 loss to Atlanta, right? And so the Saquon Barkley drop and the Sirianni, you know, all of the controversy, because it was a big deal because we were playing the Saints in Week 3. And they come in, and you lose in Week 4 to Tampa. And I look at that game, and I'm like, man, you know, what is going on in Philly? But of course, we know what happened after. They beat the Saints that day on, you know, a final, you know, next to the last final drive. And what's the take on, like, Sirianni and Saquon would have probably, you know, on the hot seat at Week 2. How did things change for both of those people, Nick and Saquon, as we stand today?
Well, you know, for Saquon, I mean, you know, even great players make mistakes, and you point out that drop. And certainly, you know, Devontae Smith had a drop in that game in Washington I was talking about that would have clinched the game for the Eagles. So there's always a handful of plays, and even the best players are going to make mistakes. They're human beings. So I don't think there was ever any angst towards Saquon. But Nick was under a lot of heat. And early in the season, because expectations are always high around this team. And certainly with the roster they put together, the expectations were through the roof. And they had their bye week after the Tampa game you're speaking of, with a very early bye week. And it's then where Lane Johnson, Jordan Mailata, went into Nick Sirianni and said, look, we're turning the football over. Let's lean on our great running back. And then the story that nobody talks about in Philadelphia, they had one of the worst defenses in the NFL last season, arguably the worst at the end of the season when they made the move to Matt Patricia. Vic Fangio comes in. They have the number one defense in the NFL. Never seen anything like it. You go from arguably the worst to arguably the best in one season. Vic deserves a lot of credit. They have two great rookie corners, Quinion Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, Zach Bond. You guys know?
Ooh.
Nobody knew.
I was hoping you wouldn't bring that up.
he's a finalist for Defensive Player of the Year. I have a vote for that. Well deserved, by the way. He's not going to win it, but he deserves to be in the top five. He's had a phenomenal season. And that's the part where Howie Roseman signed him to be a backup edge rusher and a special teams guy. And Vic Fangio saw him and said, I think he can play off-ball linebacker. And he's been the best off-ball linebacker in the NFL. It's an amazing story.
Another former Saint over there that we know well, C.J. Gardner-Johnson. And he's a little, you know, much to handle at times. Just wondering, how's his return to Philadelphia gone?
It's gone very well. It's ironic. He got kicked. He got ejected from that Washington game for two unsportsmanlike calls, and it's a rule in the NFL. If you get two of them, you're automatically ejected. I think at that point, you guys know CJ. He's loud. He's braggadocious. He's going to talk trash on the field. But he's a playmaker. He makes a lot of plays, and he's made a lot of plays this year. He's gotten better as the year has gone on. He's very important for that number one defense I talked about. And he sort of, you know, I don't want to say grew up a little bit, but he's verbalized a couple times that he realizes how important he is to the defense and he can't be doing that stuff on the field anymore. So I think he's growing up a little bit at least, and he's always been a playmaker.
Talk about the Philly challenge defensively against Jaden Daniels, leading them 7-game win streak. And it's always tough when you got to play a team the third time. The Saints have been there a couple of times in the postseason. You know, Jaden, Steve and I are doing this show from a casino down here, Boomtown Casino, and it's house money. I mean, you can see it almost in their from their huddle and him and their coach. It's like, you know, it's everybody's relaxed for a rookie. You don't see that. And his ability to make and extend plays, I mean, you know, I know watching that Philly defense, the heart of that defense, you know, with Carter and Davis stopping the run. But, man, Jaden Daniels is a whole nother ballgame.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you watch the divisional round, and there's veteran quarterbacks all over the place. Really, the only other young quarterback was C.J. Stroud, a second-year guy, and of them all, and I'll put Mahomes off to the side. But other than Mahomes, he looked like the most poised and calm and collected quarterback in the divisional round of the playoffs. It's amazing. It really is the year he's had. I think he's the best rookie quarterback ever. If he wins this game, he'll break Ben Roethlisberger's record for most wins by rookie quarterback. He'll be the first rookie quarterback to start in the Super Bowl. So I think that would cement the fact that he's the best rookie quarterback ever. And, yeah, I think everybody is. We asked Vic Fangio that. Is he the best? And, Vic, I don't know if you guys know Vic at all, but he's the rare NFL coach that does not lie. If you ask him a question, he answers it. And he thought about it for a little bit, and he said, yeah, I think he's the best rookie quarterback I've ever seen. And he's been around for 40 years.
Yeah, looking at this matchup, we know that, you know, it's two of the best teams, obviously, right now in the NFC, squaring off. They know each other well, being division rivals. And the Philadelphia Eagles, 6-point favorites in this matchup. But for you, when you look at this breakdown, what is going to be the key for the Eagles to continue on and make it to New Orleans for the Super Bowl when taking on Washington Sunday?
Well, I think, you know, the Eagles have more talent. They have the better team. You know, I think in a lot of ways, if they don't turn the football over, they're probably going to win the game. This is a terrible place to play. Is for opponents. This is the third championship game in the last 8 years at Lincoln Financial Field. The first two were 38-7 Eagles and 31-7 Eagles. So it's not an easy place to play. And I look at Sam Cosmi's out, tore his ACL for Washington. He's probably the best offensive lineman. And, you know, if Jalen Carter's going against Sam Cosmi, he's probably going to have a big day. Now he's going against a backup guard. They're going to have to slide protection to him on basically every play. Cliff Kingsbury's going to have to come up with some unique ways to keep Jaden Daniels clean. I don't like Washington's chances.
Interesting. And you talked about it. When you talk about Brown and Smith, and you know, going up against Marshawn Lattimore, another former Saint, there's a lot of people involved in this game for us. But and Devontae, who's from Amite here in Louisiana, if you kind of not take away Saquon, which is very difficult to do, how do you see the Philly pass game kind of responding and answering after that, you know, the 65 yards, net yards in the last game?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it's almost, you know, they've committed to the act, so to speak, and the fact that they're going to ride the running game and the defense as far as they can go. And even though that's not a conventional way to win in the modern NFL, it sounds like more like a 1970s team. They only got 8 quarters to go. They got to beat Washington, and then they're in the Super Bowl. So, I mean, it's worked for them to this point. I don't think you wake up on Sunday in late January and say, we got to scrap everything and go in a different direction. The strength of this team is the offensive line and Saquon Barkley. and the defense, and they're going to ride those guys as far as they can.
Always appreciate the time. Thanks so much, John. And maybe we'll be seeing you Super Bowl Sunday here in New Orleans.
Yeah, I think you are. So get ready, guys.
We are. Thank you.
Appreciate the time. Thanks so much, John.
All right.
Eagles insider for Sports Illustrated, John McMullen, also hosts the Birds 365 podcast. We're going to take a break. When we get back, we'll get the Commanders side of things. David Harrison, host of the Locked On Commanders podcast, also writer for Sports Illustrated's Commanders Game Day. Taking a break here at the Boomtown Casino in Harvey. Be right back with more sports talk on WWL right after this.
First down and 10 at the 41. They'll swing the pass out to the left side. It's McLaurin. Breaks two tackles down the left sideline to the 40. McLaurin motoring to the 30. Inside the 20. Still on his feet at the 10. And he'll dive into the end zone for a Washington touchdown.
Commanders dismantling the Detroit Lions 45-31, moving on to the division, the conference championship after that smackdown in the divisional round. Helping us break it all down this matchup on Sunday is David Harrison, host of the Locked On Commanders podcast, also writer for SI's Commander Game Day. David, thanks so much for the time. How you been doing?
I'm doing good. I appreciate the invitation. Thank you.
Looking at this game in Philadelphia on Sunday, it's been a pretty remarkable run, and obviously a guy we're pretty familiar with here is Jaden Daniels, former LSU stud, Heisman Trophy winner, and it's just been the rave of the NFL this season where, you know, nobody's quite seen a rookie do this at quarterback and could become the first rookie to make it to the Super Bowl ever. Just overall impressions of this, of Jaden Daniels, and how he's able to stay so calm and cool no matter what.
I mean, I think it's just his personality, you know what I mean? It's actually funny you mentioned that because today in this press conference, he was asked what, you know, five-year-old Jaden Daniels would be thinking about seeing, you know, him right now doing what he did. And he just kind of laughed and said five-year-old Jaden Daniels wouldn't care about what was happening over here. And you know, like, it's just part of his personality where he just doesn't really pay attention to the hype and the labels of everything. And to him, it's, you know, it's not the NFC championship game. It's a football game, you know, and it's the same 60 minutes. It's the same rules. It's the same field. It's the same, you know, skill that you need and preparation that you have to have. And I think that's a really great way of looking at it, but something that we're not used to seeing from such a young player.
Give me a sense. In full disclosure, I grew up born and raised outside of the D.C. area, Manassas, Virginia, and the Washington team, then, of course, a different name. I mean, that was my team growing up, and, man, I was, you know, part of the Joe Gibbs era and Gary Clark and all of that. And then I watched, you know, what happened, you know, with the ownership and the franchise, and we did some games up there when things were not good. And then you get a new owner, a new head coach, and a new quarterback. I'm kind of wondering, like, I'm curious because I don't know the fervor of the Washington fan base. What is it? What has it just been, you know, magical? What's this ride been like from the Washington fan base?
Yeah, it's been really exciting, you know, to go, you know, it's been, I mean, roller coaster, I think, is obviously the best way to put it. Going back to just this time last year, the hiring of Adam Peters, you know, the most sought after general manager candidate, you know, on the market, and the home run that was, and then going through the coaching searches, and is it going to be Ben Johnson, Mike McDonald, and, you know, truthfully, like, most people around here had Dan Quinn, like, fourth or fifth on the list, and then when he becomes the hire, a lot of people are kind of confused, you know, maybe, you know, questioning the process a little bit, and then, boom, his introductory press conference comes, and everybody wants to run through a wall for Dan Quinn, and the coaching staff starts getting formed, and it's just big name after big name, former player after former player, and everybody just starts to love kind of the mentality they're attacking this. And then as you know, players started signing, and you get guys like Bobby Wagner and Zach Ertz coming in, who are certainly not guys that are just going to sign on anywhere for any reason. Like, these are guys who believe in what they're signing on for and the project they're adopting. And then, of course, the arrival of Jaden Daniels. Like, from there, it just really kind of went up. And you know, there was a little bit still of kind of that hangover. You know, I remember, you know, I've got a subscription text service, so I'm texting my subscribers during games and stuff throughout the season. And, you know, some of the early games, you know, the Buccaneers game with all the missed tackles, and even the Giants game with no touchdowns. Like, there's still a little bit there where it's like, you know, the same old Washington. And then when they're about to lose to Chicago, there's some negativity. But, you know, the more they developed and the more you saw them, I mean, obviously that Hail Mary moment is massive, right? But the more you saw this team kind of start to really establish their identity. And then obviously as you get into, you know, winning these games, these last five or six games and final moments and all that stuff until Detroit, like, it's just now it's kind of morphed to where, you know, if the team starts slow, I'm actually getting more text messages and social media interactions that are like, all right, you know, they've got to settle in and pull this out. Like, there's more confidence. It's no longer, woe is me, here we go again. Now it's, okay, well, this team can pull out of this, you know, slow start or bad defensive run, whatever it is, that's setting the team back in that moment. And it's been refreshing to see. And then, you know, I'm getting, you know, alerts that, and I don't know if it's 100% true. I've been able to confirm it, but it's like, you know, a third or something like that of the tickets sold to this weekend's game are coming from the DMV area. And so there's a, you know, hope that, you know, at least most of those are Commanders fans. Obviously, there's going to be a mix of Eagles fans in the DMV that are traveling to Philly for the game as well. But, you know, obviously if 15,000 tickets are sold in the DMV, you can put pretty good money on that. At least, you know, 66% of those are probably Commanders fans. And it's just cool to see the interactions and the support and the excitement, you know.
So DMV, for those not from the Northern Virginia area, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia.
Yeah, cool. Sorry.
That's all right. No, I'm sure, you know, I mean, I knew what you're talking about, but I'm from there. But, no, that was a good deal.
Looking at the defense on the Commander side, a guy that we're familiar with down here, obviously Marshawn Lattimore. Know he's been dealing with a hamstring issue, but seems to be on the mend now. Just wondering how he's doing and how Commanders fans are feeling about the cornerback, because we know here when he is on his game and healthy, definitely one of the best corners in the NFL.
Yeah, and I think that's what, you know, I think a lot of people were expecting to see that Marshawn Lattimore maybe a little bit sooner than they did.
Yeah,
you know, he comes over early November, wasn't able to play until after the bye week, and then of course New Orleans doesn't go after him at all, which is great. You know, there were some Commanders fans who were like, we didn't really see him do anything, and like, well, it's because they didn't go after him, and that's a good thing. Like that part of not doing anything is a good thing. It just shows how effective he is. And you know, the Eagles went after him a little bit, a little bit of a mixed bag there. He aggravated the hamstring injury, didn't play again until the wild card round. Mike Evans, you know, I'd say probably won that round in there. Storied rivalry, but a lot of that is, you know, rust from Marshawn not playing a whole lot this season due to those injuries, you know, newness in the system and all that stuff. But this week, you know, he did get a rest day today on Friday, that rest day, but, you know, this staff's not going to give him that rest day unless they feel like it's okay for him to have that rest day. And having these full-speed practices and practicing the communication and the checks and the reads and all that stuff are obviously going to be incredibly important. So I think as the weeks go by, you're going to see a better, you know, version of Marshawn Lattimore, and eventually he'll get to that that same old, you know, Marshawn that people know and love. But obviously there's not a whole lot of weeks left in this season, so you're probably going to see the best Commanders version of Marshawn Lattimore next year. But, you know, I think every week you kind of see him get just a little bit better and better, and certainly last week against the Lions, you know, again, a lot of times when you look at a cornerback and he's not having his name said, that's a really good thing.
Right.
But this week, he's going up against A.J. Brown again. You know, look, the Eagles have already shown they're not going to be afraid. They're not going to go away from him. They're not going to, you know, shy down from the challenge. So he's going to have an opportunity to have an impact in this game again.
When you look at Washington's offense, it always jumps out. I mean, it's the Brian Robinson, it's Jaden, it's McLaurin. To me, there's a new kind of, you know, part of this offense, and he didn't play against us, and he missed five games, and that's Austin Eckler. First year with Washington, and he just, to me, he's had no 100-yard rushing games, hadn't scored a touchdown in his last five, but, man, he's a player that is kind of that impact player X factor that on Sunday that can make a huge difference. He's just seems to be enormously strong right now.
Yeah, and I think the importance of him on the offense, you know, probably more so as a receiving back and doing all those things, is really shown in the fact that he's a second-team All-Pro kick returner who's not returning kicks for his team. You know what I mean? Like Luke McCaffrey and Jeremy and Nick Bolder, so, you know, a combination of guys with Luke McCaffrey are back there returning kicks because they need Austin Eckler on offense. And so I think that just kind of shows how valuable he is to this team as another running back there to pair with Brian Robinson Jr. And obviously his experience, you know, making it into the playoffs and having, you know, postseason experience, just the veteran kind of calmness that he brings is going to be important as well. But I think it's something that we've interestingly seen kind of develop over the last, you know, 2-3 weeks from the Washington Commanders offense, is getting the running backs more involved as receivers. Brian Robinson Jr. had the most catches he's had in a single game this season just a couple weeks ago, you know, and so they're starting to kind of expand that a little bit. And we've been kind of looking at Jaden as like that's kind of the next step in his quarterback development, whether it happens this year or next year or whenever. Right now, his check down is essentially running. You know, that's his check down move. But there's going to need to come a time where he also has a check down, he also has a run, and he's also got, you know, the short design plays. Most of the short passes are by design. Even if it looks like he's you know, looking to go deep, it's more so to push the umbrella up to give the underneath guy room to run. But you're seeing a little bit more of that check down ability, and not just ability. I mean, the ability's always been there, right? But it's more the consciousness of the opening to do that and not having to run the entire time for yourself to get those yards. You can dump it off to another playmaker and let them do it.
Doesn't get much better than division rivals in a conference championship for the, you know, the rights to go to a Super Bowl here. I know Commander's a 6-point dog in this matchup. What's it going to take for Washington to pull off this upset in Philadelphia, you think, Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, you know, everybody's been saying it all week. It starts with Saquon Barkley, you know, and you got to keep him from just taking over the game. And certainly he's gotten his numbers against the Commanders. In the first game, they were able to contain him pretty well for 3.5 quarters. And then that last half, that fourth quarter, he exploded, got 2 big touchdowns, and the Eagles come away with an 8-point win. In the second game, he exploded to start the game. And then after Jalen Hurts goes down, the Commanders were able to kind of stack the box a little bit more, really sell out to stop him. And they're able to do that and get themselves back into competition and end up scoring a game-winning touchdown. So I think in this one, it's kind of a middle ground thing. You know, Jalen Hurts is going to be out there. But he's not going to be 100%. He's going to have a brace on that left knee. How mobile is he really going to be? I don't think he's going to be, you know, the same Jalen Hurts. I know Philly is trying to say otherwise, but I don't think he's going to be have the same ability that he usually does. And how big of an impact that causes that offense is going to be key, because if Joe Witt Jr. sees that Jalen is, you know, has to be a little bit closer to a statue than you're used to seeing, That emboldens him to come after Saquon a lot more and maybe stack that box a lot more and trust his secondary, which, you know, the Commander's secondary is in the top 10 in the league pretty much the entire year and preventing explosive passes. So if you can take away Saquon as much as possible, force Jalen to have to beat you from the pocket, I think the Commanders like their chances from that.
David, definitely appreciate the time. Thank you, and best of luck to you and the Commanders on Sunday, man.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you for the invite.
Yep, appreciate it.
David Harrison, who hosts the Locked On Commanders podcast, also writer for SI Commanders Game Day. You can check out all his work there as the Commanders get ready to take on the Philadelphia Eagles Sunday, which you can catch here on WWL and the Odyssey app. A 2 o'clock kickoff. Pre-game coverage will start at 1. Checking in as we go to break, the LSU versus South Carolina Gamecocks women's basketball game. So South Carolina up 62-54, 2 minutes left in the game. Be keeping an eye on that. The Tigers need to make a big run here at the end if they want to close in on the Gamecocks. Taking a break here on Sports Talk. We're here at Boomtown Casino and Harvey. You can stop by and say hey here at the Sportsbook as you place your bets. Getting ready for Sunday's conference matchups. We'll be right back after this on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk here at Boomtown Casino and Harvey. Now, how did the historic winter storm affect hunting and fishing? Well, you can find out tomorrow morning with Don Dubuque. Don's the outdoors guy who spent decades fishing and hunting the woods, swamps, marshes, and bayous of southeast Louisiana. If anybody knows what's going on out there, it's Don and all of his reporters in the field. Catch Louisiana's great outdoors with Don Dubuque tomorrow morning, bright and early from 5 a.m. to 7. You'll get real-time hunting and fishing reports right here on WWL. And if 5 a.m. is too early for you, remember, we podcast every episode. You can listen whenever works for you. Simply rewind to WWL.com or for free on the Odyssey app. Going to go to the top of the hour news break, and after that, we'll start breaking things down over in the AFC. Sal Capaccio, Bill's sideline reporter, and Josh Klinger, chief sideline reporter, will be joining us as we continue our breakdown of the conference championships going on Sunday, which you can also catch, what do you know, right here on WWL. Be back after this, folks.